The Holy Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee and also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jewish people, was near. And when he looked up, he saw a large crowd coming toward him. Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy for these people to eat?" Jesus said this to test Philip, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. But one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a child here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make this people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. And then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. And when the people saw the sign that Jesus had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because of the strong wind was blowing. And when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat. And they were terrified. But Jesus said to them, "Here I am. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat. And immediately the boat reached the land toward where they were going. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Well, to begin this sermon this morning, I want you to take a moment and think about you might be comfortable in telling someone else, when a challenge was or perhaps is at the moment that is so large or daunting that you are or maybe have become overwhelmed. Think about that for just 1 second. Now, I invite you just very briefly to turn to your neighbor, and maybe it's somebody that you don't know, and share with them just for a very brief second what you came up with how you are overwhelmed with a challenge right now. Let us do that. Well, thank you, everyone. As there is a lot to share, I know. And maybe we can continue that sharing after worship, because I think it's important to know that that whatever it is that is overwhelming to you right now, that we hold you in prayer in this time, in this place. There are a lot of things in life right now that are overwhelming and I think a little bit scary. Abby and I, as most of you know, are pretty connected with people in Missoula who are working on the the challenge and the problem of climate change and care for creation. And I don't know if you have seen in the news lately, but this summer has been one for the books. It's gotten over 70 degrees in parts of the Arctic, which is unheard of. Tens of thousands of people have been hospitalized in Japan due to record triple-digit heat wave. Fires are spreading, of course, across California and Greece. And even the country, get this, of Sweden, not known as a country with wildfires, had to ask Italy, which has more resources to fight wildfire, for help to put out multiple blazes raging in populated areas. And I have find myself lately getting overwhelmed with thinking, you know, what is this world going to look like when Soren is my age? Maybe your source of anxiety is much more near term. Maybe there is real strife right now in your family, getting along, or your job is getting too much to handle because of budget cuts or responsibilities. Well, whatever it is, being overwhelmed can be a common emotion that we have in our daily lives. And it can be hard to think that we can do anything to address these very real and large problems that we face. And I bring this up because I recognize and can relate to the anxiety that is coming out of the disciple Philip in our gospel lesson today, when he says, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get even a little. You see, Jesus and his disciples have a problem. They are teaching and preaching out in the hot countryside of Galilee. Now, Galilee is not isn't pure sandy desert like the Dead Sea, but it's more like the countryside of Italy or Greece, some vegetation, but it's still very, very hot. And it's understood that a lot of these people are peasants or common laborers who took the time to see Jesus, right? And thus they aren't fishing or building or cooking or working in the fields. They're not making any income for the day. So this is pretty amazing that they are giving up their income for the day in order to witness Jesus, but it still presents a real challenge, right? With no food, no income for the day, how are these people going to sustain themselves? They're probably a good hour plus walk outside the nearest village. So thus, even if they have the resources to purchase something, it would be a long, long time to eat something. And let's also acknowledge that it's not like most of these people that are listening to Jesus are on Weight Watchers. Most, if not probably all, of this crowd is routinely starved on a regular basis for nutrition. So all of this leads to sickness, dehydration, weakness, instability, and loss of mobility, right? So Jesus' disciples know they have a problem, and it's, dare I say, pretty overwhelming to them. So what is there to do? Well, you could try to leave the crowd and say you're on your own, but that always runs the risk of turning the crowd into an angry mob in an unstable situation. You could go into the village and try to steal food, I suppose, but that has its own issues. You could try to fish the lake, maybe, a little bit, but that's going to take a lot of time and effort for likely very little in return, especially when you feed 5,000 people, right? So thus, insert Andrew, Peter's brother, into this scenario, who has another suggestion. Andrew points out this little boy who is willing to share his 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, This action of pointing this little boy out, if you think about it, is so ridiculous, it's funny, right? 5 loaves and 2 fish for 5,000 people. But that's what they got. Yet even though it seems like unbelievably inadequate to solve this humongous problem, it's a start. Sometimes even an inadequate start can lead to enough. There's an organization based out of Minneapolis called College Possible. Some of you may have heard of it. It's a nonprofit that assists immigrants and low-income children with kids with test scores and studies that they will succeed and hopefully graduate from university. And Abby actually served as an AmeriCorps volunteer with this organization right after she graduated from St. Olaf. And I remember when we heard the executive director of College Possible speak about the philosophy of this organization. And it was fascinating to hear. It's all about, he said, disruption. Disruption, I remember him saying. That's what we do. We look to disrupt the way most of these students think of themselves. Oh, I could never get a college degree, right? We look to disrupt the way universities see minority students, right? Those students need some extra help. They're maybe more expensive. We look to disrupt family dynamics and systems, like by showing a son or daughter who most likely is the first person to graduate from college in their family, that can lift the entire family up. Disruption of norms that are stuck in place is what we do, he said. And I feel like Jesus, in the story of feeding the 5,000, could almost say the exact same thing. Jesus is the disruptor of norms in place within that culture, right? We forget that bread was used, of course, as a tool by rulers to keep power. Keep the people hungry, and they won't have time to think about throwing you out. Jesus disrupts this practice entirely. Banquets and meals were usually a way of displaying social status, right? Especially in the ancient Near East. The people at the top got to sit closer to the food, while the people at the bottom had to wait. Jesus disrupts this practice with having everyone sit together in the grass. And finally, Jesus disrupts the entire idea of something not being enough. This little boy, it turns out, had something that in the end was enough. It's the impossible being disrupted to become the possible. So where does this leave us then in our legitimate challenges and being overwhelmed as we are? Well, I don't think that the true answer is to be, you know, Pollyanna, right? As sometimes it's easy to do, to say, well, you know, God will just make it happen in the end. We'll be okay. Because at least I don't believe that this is exactly the case. The fact that people on this earth are starving isn't God's fault. It's our fault. We have enough food to feed everyone on this planet many times over. Yet we don't have the will to figure out how to distribute that food to everyone who needs it. The answer of, well, that's just how the world economy works, is an excuse we like to tell ourselves in order not to be overwhelmed. Perhaps what we need most then is the little boy. Disruption of 5 loaves and 2 fish. Perhaps norms that we think are impossible. We can't do that. They're impossible to cross are actually possible with the simplest of ideas. There's a beautiful documentary that maybe many of you have seen. It's been playing in the last couple of weeks at the Roxy on Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Oh my gosh, it's called Won't You Be My Neighbor? And I encourage everyone to see this documentary. It's just amazing. And this documentary, this movie, follows the ups and downs, of course, of a TV show and the making of a TV show for kids, as well as Fred's fascination with relating to a child. And even when TV first began, shows for kids, and this was even in the 1950s, were few and far between. And what material there was, it became focused on children and products, prepping the future generation for consumption. And Fred Rogers hated this. And so he decided, upon finishing his seminary degree, he was a Presbyterian pastor. After finishing his seminary degree, he told his friends and his family that he was interested in doing television, even though he had never set foot on a TV set in his life. And so he went, just knocked on the door at WQED, the public broadcasting station in Pittsburgh, and got this little job at co-hosting this program called The Children's Corner. And one of the frustrations of being a public television station is that you didn't have a lot of money to buy film. So they had to use donated film that would always be dried out or even brittle. And so it was a common occurrence, apparently, that this film would just break apart even while it's in the camera. And sometimes even while this show was being filmed live on TV. And so the film would just break apart, but then they would still have the audio live to the audience. So this would become this common occurrence, and Fred would come up with these ways of just filling time while they had to reload the camera. And one of the things that he just used, he would grab an extra sock that he had, and he turned it into a puppet. And he decided to have conversations with him and his co-host just on audio while the film was being fixed. Turns out, Fred Rogers was rather good at puppets, and kids more looked forward to the puppets coming out than the actual show itself. And so this led to the land of make-believe, which is in Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Who knew that getting out a sock, turning it into a puppet for time filler, could actually lead to the changing and influencing of lives for millions of people? Sometimes it's the little boy with five loaves and two fish that can change the world after all. May you, even when you are overwhelmed by the challenges that are before you, find the little, the crazy ideas that can disrupt and shake us a little bit. For there with Christ is nothing that is too great for our God. And for this we say thanks be to God. Amen.